Chapter 48. The Reformation Grows. A new emperor, Charles V, came to the throne of Germany. Frederick, the Elector of Saxony in northwest Germany, had done much to help Charles become emperor. Messengers from Rome hurried to bring the new emperor greetings from the Pope. The messengers strongly urged Charles to use his power against the Reformation. However, Frederick, the Elector of Saxony, pleaded with Emperor Charles to talk with Martin Luther before working against the Reformer. Soon after Charles became emperor, a council for all the German states was held at the city of Worms. The attention of everyone was turned to that council. Important political problems needed to be discussed at this national council. But these problems seemed small when compared with Luther and the Reformation. Emperor Charles asked Frederick the Elector to bring Luther with him to the council. Charles promised that Luther would be protected from violence. Luther would be allowed to discuss his doctrines with a representative from the Roman Church. Luther was eager to appear before Emperor Charles. The friends of Luther were terrified and worried. They knew the feelings of hate against Luther and feared that the promise of a safe trip would not be kept. Luther's friends begged him not to risk his life. Luther replied, "The Papists, Catholics, do not really want me to come to Worms to explain my teachings. What they want is to condemn me and end my life. But that's all right. Pray not for me, but for the Word of God." Luther before the Council. The day came when Luther stood before the council. The emperor was on the throne. The most important men in the empire were seated around the emperor. No man had ever appeared before so many important men as Luther did that day. Luther was ready and eager to give an answer for his faith. The fact that Luther was before these important men was a victory for the truth. The Pope had put Luther out of the church and placed a curse on him. But here, Luther stood before another court of justice. Luther was given protection. He was given a hearing before the leaders of the nation. Rome had commanded that Luther be silent, but he was asked to speak before thousands of men from all parts of the Christian world. Luther was God's witness among the important people of earth. Luther stood calm and peaceful. He was brave and noble. Luther spoke in a quiet, humble voice. He did not act excited or angry. Luther was humble and respectful, but he showed a confidence and joy that surprised the council. Many of the people who listened to Luther refused to accept the knowledge from God. These people had determined to reject the truth and were angry at the power of Luther's words. When Luther stopped speaking, the chairman of the council said angrily, "You have not answered the question asked you. Will you or will you not take back and give up your teachings?" Luther answered, "Since your great majesty and your high mightinesses demand from me a clear, simple, and exact answer, I will give you one. My answer is this: I cannot let the Pope or the councils decide what I should believe. It is clear as day that they have frequently made mistakes and disagreed with each other. My conscience demands that I obey the Word of God. Therefore, I must be convinced by Scripture and by clear reasoning that I am wrong. I must be shown I am wrong by the Scripture texts I have quoted. If not, I cannot and I will not take back my teachings nor give up my faith. It is not safe for a Christian to speak against his conscience. Here I stand. I can do no other. May God help me. Amen." Luther was a righteous man. He stood on the firm foundation of the Word of God. Heaven's light brightened his face. Luther's greatness and good character were seen by everyone at the council. These people also saw Luther's peace and joy as he spoke out against the power of error. The people saw that faith that is based on God's word overcomes the world. Martin Luther stood firm as a rock, while the fierce waves of worldly power beat harmlessly against him. The people were amazed at the power of Luther's words. They were impressed that Luther was calm and without fear. The leaders made promises and threats to Luther to get him to give up his faith. But these men could plainly see that Luther would not yield to the commands of Rome. Christ spoke with power through Luther's testimony to the council. For a while, Luther's friends and enemies were inspired with awe and wonder. The Holy Spirit of God was present in that council. The Holy Spirit impressed the hearts of the leaders of Germany. Several princes said that Luther's cause was just. Many people believed what Luther said, but they soon forgot. Some people present did not express their feelings, but later they studied the Bible for themselves. When these people found that Luther was right, they boldly stood up for the Reformation. Frederick the Elector had worried about Luther appearing before the council. With deep feelings, he listened to Luther's speech. Frederick rejoiced at Luther's courage, firmness, and self-control. Frederick was proud to be Luther's protector. Frederick saw that the wisdom of popes, kings, and ministers had been brought to nothing by the power of truth. The papacy suffered a defeat that would be felt among all nations and for all years to come. If Luther had yielded in one small point, Satan and his followers would have gained the victory. But the reformer's firmness was the means of setting the church free. This was the beginning of a new and better time. Luther had dared to think and act for himself in religious matters, so now the church and the world would never again be the same. Luther's example would strengthen to the end of time any person who would have to stand up for his faith. The power and majesty of God is above the counsel of men and above the mighty power of Satan. I, Ellen White, saw that Luther was zealous, without fear, and bold in pointing out sin and teaching truth. Luther did not fear wicked men or devils. He knew he had one, God, with him, who was mightier than all of them. Luther had zeal, courage, and boldness, but at times he was in danger of being too bold. So God sent Melanchthon to help Luther carry on the Reformation. God brought the hearts of Luther and Melanchthon together as one. The two men worked together continually. Melanchthon was opposite in character from Luther. He was quiet, fearful, careful, and had great patience. God loved Melanchthon very much. Melanchthon's knowledge of the scriptures was great. His judgment and wisdom were excellent. Melanchthon loved truth the same as Luther loved truth. Luther was a great help when Melanchthon was too fearful and slow. Melanchthon was a great help when Luther was moving too fast. Melanchthon's caution often stopped trouble that would have come on the work if Luther had been alone. But many times the work would not have been pushed forward if the work had been left to Melanchthon alone. I, Ellen White, was shown the wisdom of God in choosing these two men to continue the Reformation. England and Scotland enlightened. While Luther was bringing the Bible to the people of Germany, Tyndale was led by the Holy Spirit to give the Bible to England. Tyndale was a faithful student of the Scriptures. He preached the truth without fear. Tyndale urged that all doctrines be tested by God's word. Tyndale's zeal excited the followers of the papacy against him. A Catholic doctor who often argued with Tyndale exclaimed, "It would be better for us to be without God's law than without the Pope's law." Tyndale replied, "I yield not to the Pope and all his laws. Before many years have passed, if God spares my life, I will make it possible for a boy who drives the plow to know more of the scriptures than you do." Tyndale had a great desire to bring the people of England the New Testament scriptures in their own language. Tyndale began this work, but all England seemed closed against him. He moved to Germany and began printing the English New Testament. 3,000 copies were first printed, and soon 3,000 more were printed that same year. Finally, Tyndale witnessed for his faith by dying as a martyr. But the scriptures that he prepared helped other brave men fight for the truth. In Scotland, the Reformation was led by John Knox. Knox was an honest man who was not afraid of anyone. Papal leaders threatened to kill Knox, but this only made Knox's zeal stronger and caused him to work harder. Knox was not afraid of the enemy's axe that seemed to be continually over his head. Knox stood firm. Knox was not afraid to try to destroy idolatry. Praying and fighting the battles of the Lord, John Knox kept to his purpose until Scotland was free from papal control. In England, Latimer preached that the Bible should be read in the language that the people spoke. Latimer said the author of the Holy Scripture is God himself, and this scripture has some of the might and eternity of its author. There is no king, emperor, judge, and ruler, but all must obey his holy word. Let us not take any side paths, but let God's word guide us. Let us not walk in the paths of our fathers, nor seek to know what they did. Let us learn what they should have done. Barnes and Frith were faithful friends of Tyndale who defended the truth. The Ridleys and Cranmer followed. These leaders in the English Reformation were educated men. Most of these leaders had been highly respected for their former zeal and devotion to the papacy. These leaders testified against the papacy. Their testimony had great power because these men knew the errors of the papacy. The principle held firmly by Tyndale, Frith, Latimer, and the Ridleys was the divine authority of the sacred scriptures. Kings and church leaders said they had authority to rule the conscience of people in religious things. The reformers rejected this idea. The Bible was the standard these reformers used to examine all doctrines and teachings. Faith in God and His Word strengthened these holy men as they willingly died for His truth.